I declare the meeting open on the 16th of April 26th. And we have some visitors with us today. So it's Cam and Bridge, is it? Rasmussen, from Warramuckney. Councillor Jennings is an apology, as is Carl Nicol, our operations manager. Apologies. Are there any applications for approved leave of absence? Item 2.3. No? None. Public question time. We don't have any public questions, but we do have item 4 is petitions, deputations, presentations and submissions. So I will hand over to the CEO.
Just and point of order, briefly. Can I please get my name added to the attendance list?
Yes. To the chair, yes, we've
been here. I don't know, I just wanted to add.
Sorry, I didn't see it. Thank you.
On to second floor. Thanks.
That's right, I'm glad you noticed that. It's very definitely here. Okay, so we're on item 4, petitions, deputations, presentations and submissions. So we have our visitors who have a presentation.
Yes, so to the chair. So yes, Madam President, we have a request for exemption of development approval at 944 Warramuckney Road in Wandering. So we have the property owners here, Ken and Greta, and we'll just hand over to them to make a deputation for council prior to council considering their application. Over to you. It's your time to convince council as to why they should support your application for the exemption.
Okay, I wasn't prepared. I didn't think I had to say anything, but basically we've come up with an idea, my son and myself and another person, that we wanted to construct this structure that would house bats, especially up in the Pilbara where there's a lot of mining going on. And it's been a passion project over quite a long time, and we've got to the point where we had to manufacture it, and we are now in the process of manufacturing, and we hope that you guys can see the benefits for maybe not so much the Wandering Council, but for the Australian wildlife. And yeah, we're just doing it out of passion more than any other reason, so hopefully that helps. I don't know, we try to be as discreet as possible when we're finishing it off. And yeah, I don't know.
That's right, yes. So okay. The council has the letter that you sent, so thank you for that. So that outlines the project, there's some features in there as well. So that's tabled with the agenda. So I guess I'll throw to council if there's any questions councillors would like to ask.
Hey, Councillor Cowan, I went past the other day to have a look at it after I saw the submission.
Yep.
Very interesting looking concept. But there's no indication yet as to how high the structure is going to be. Is it, what would be the finished height of it?
Finished height would be 3 metres and 3.5 metres.
Yep.
Yep.
And it's all going to be elevated and put in position with the tripod that you have there?
There will be a crane on the day.
Yep.
And the assembly will be, the planning of the assembly, this is research and development, so there's no guarantee that the proof of concept is going to go any further than where it gets to a stop. But it's been drawn up, it's been designed, it's been modelled, it's been, all these things are done. We're actually at the point where we are ready to assemble the structure. The structure will be assembled with a crane on site and disassembled with the same crane on site. We are hoping on exactly the same day. It's just the proof of concept to make sure these blocks fit together. As you know, you can draw something perfectly on a computer, but when you manufacture it, there's a tolerance. And although we're working within a very tight tolerance, there are still things that are not perfect, and we need to make sure that that's going to work. Because when we install it in its final resting place, which is in the Pilbara up in Marble Bar, we want everything to go as smoothly as possible, because with our limited funds. We don't want to be expending any more money than we have to get it put together.
Understood.
So, yeah, it will be over 3.5 metres, but it will be a very, very short period of time it's put together.
So, Councillor Sherrill, so what happens if you copy set the concept and you want it to work? What happens if it doesn't work and it's not going to go any further? What are you going to do with the end product?
It will be removed. It will go to landfill.
I don't suppose that 80% of the company said, oh, you can maybe sell it to people that have got goats, and goats can climb on it. Give it to people.
It will definitely be removed. We were very positive about the outcome, so we haven't done that. But it will be within the time frame that we get allocated. If we get that allocated, and it will definitely all be removed again, back to a normal, nice place to live, which is what I would like to have as well as anybody else.
It doesn't actually look that intrusive at the moment, but we're assuming it's going to be bigger, obviously.
It will be have you seen it? It's a circle, and it's circular in all, basically. It's made out of flat sections, but it's
diagonal.
Scientifically, it's called a V2 geodesic dome.
Nice.
It's a very strong structure, deliberately built for that purpose.
So, any other questions, councillors?
Now, my follow-on question was going to be, judging by the shape of the concrete castings on the western side, on the house side, it looks like the higher it goes, the more it comes in. And you've just answered that with the geodesic shape of it. Each piece will slot in and sit against each other as it goes
correct,
on. And that's where I can now understand that a 3 or 3.5 odd metre tall will certainly work.
Yeah.
Any other questions?
No, they answered all mine. Thank you.
I guess unless there's anything else you have to say.
Well, I guess the main point is that it's a temporary structure.
Yeah.
It has taken a long period of time to cast all these pieces because the nature of the steel forms and the curing times and all the rest of it. But going forward, the actual assembly will be a very short period of time. We are planning to assemble and disassemble on the same day. That's the plan. If not, it'll be the day after, unless the crane is leased out, then it'll be the most closest day to whenever that crane can come back. So, I mean, you know, it's research and development, so things can go wrong, but it'll be within.
Councillor Hanson.
Through the chair. Thanks, Madam President. It looks interesting and, it looks amazing, actually. So if you assemble it and then disassemble it, will you disassemble it and put it on trailers ready to leave, or what's your plan?
It will be going on a truck, probably 2 or 3 trucks, and get removed and go up to logistics. There's a little bit of a logistical problem with that. We need to make sure, just getting 3 big trucks to go all the way up to the end of Malabar. It's not a simple thing, it has to be ordered, but it will be going on trucks as soon as possible and going up there.
I was just thinking cost-wise, you're putting it together and you're pulling it apart.
Yeah, transport is the biggest
cost. If you can get the crane and the trailers all sorted at the same time, the cost will be a lot less than having to get the crane again
we will plan the process, the assembly process, before we start, and the biggest thing is we've got very close to the planning process. We planned it in the sense that we need to get the base blocks, which you can see on site, they've all been put into the right position. They've taken quite a number of days to move millimetre perfect, because the more accurate the base is, the more likely everything is going to go right at the top. And we're trying to mirror what's going to go on site. We're taking a lot of time for that, and that's why we're using the tripod, because having a crane sitting there day after day to move these 3 or 4 millimetres is very costly, and very costly. So we're using the tripod and the block and tackle for all of that. And once we get to the process where we just get in there and get it all done in and out, and it, again, like you say, it's a cost thing. That's why we're doing all the pre-planning. With regards to getting the trucks in on the same day, I think we'll be very optimistic.
Yeah.
I think the risk is probably higher than the savings as far as getting the crane in once to do the whole job. I think we're more or less going to be planning on getting the crane in to assemble and disassemble.
Yeah.
And as soon as that is, we're going to have a little celebration, and then we're going to get the trucks in to remove and obviously bring the train back again. We don't know exactly where, maybe that some of those trucks may have a crane that can lift 2.5 tonnes, and then we'll use that. We haven't planned that far yet because it's a bit too optimistic.
Sounds fascinating. So yeah. Have a lot to come and have a look at it.
Yes. There's a lot more to it than what it looks like. There's a lot of, we've got a, I'm ranting on now, but it's got a 10,000 year theoretical lifespan. Believe it or not, I mean, obviously that's easy because I'm not going to be here to hold the warranty, but it's scientific and engineered to last 10,000 years. Now, obviously not this one, it's a prototype, but concrete is not. It's just cheap concrete from Andrew down the road. But when the next one gets made, if that ever happens, it will have a 10,000 year lifespan.
Councillor Thompson, through Chair. Just out of curiosity, what's sort of the average weight of each piece, and then what would be the heaviest piece?
This one is 2.5 tonnes.
That's a good size.
That's pretty heavy.
Yeah. So that one would be the
that's the
giant cap sort of thing?
Ones. Yeah.
That's coming through the top, or what?
No, the actual entrance is not there. The entrance will be underground.
Okay.
And the best way to describe this, there'll be pipes coming in with a riser in the middle. Because that dome is designed as a single integrity,
right.
And if you put a hole in any of that, all the design is flawed.
Right.
So it has to come in from underneath and go up through the middle. It does a lot of other things as well. It's because the endangered bats that are going in there, they will be susceptible to cats and foxes and things like that. So it's designed to exclude animals from getting in.
Okay, awesome.
So yeah, this.
And there will be like 3 meters of dirt on top.
Finished product. That will be 3 meters underground. The top will be 3 meters underground.
Will there be just probably into technicalities, but you're going to have like monitoring equipment inside it?
There will be. There are some people that are keen on getting the cameras in there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a few different groups that are interested.
Yeah.
There's a lot of talk being going on over the many years that we've been working on it. So, and we have a guy. Who's happy to lend us the money. We've got a budget, but he's giving us the money to build it, and he's going to also be paying for the transport costs. So yeah, there's a lot of people involved on the sideline, but all the work is done by my son and myself.
Nice.
Is your time frame realistic? Are you going to have all your pieces, the jigsaw blocks, constructed within a year?
They are all there.
Right, no worries.
Yeah, all the pieces are there.
Yep.
And all we need to do is get permission and...
Or an exemption from...
Exemption or permission or...
Let's go.
And yeah. It's very temporary. It's, I know it's...
That's a bit we understand.
No, look, we're all happy.
Thank you.
It's a bit of a hard thing because we're trying to do something beyond our ability as far as funds are concerned. So keeping the costs to the lowest possible level actually included us doing it on my property, because anywhere else would be more funds. Yeah, so.
Thank you for that. That's helpful for council and the answer to the item later today. And thank you for coming along, and let Jesus show you up.
Thank you very much.
So just for the chair, for the recording, copies of the recording. The guests have left the meeting at 3:45 p.m. Back to you, Madam Chair.
So we continue
on and we'll come to it when we come to it on the agenda.
Okay, so are there any disclosures of interest for any of the items which are coming up today? There are none. We will go to item 7, confirmation of minutes of the previous meeting, 7.1, Portbury Council meeting, 19th March 2026. Recommendation is that the minutes of the ordinary meeting of council held on 19th March 2026 be confirmed as true and correct. Can I have a mover, please? Thank you, Councillor Hanson. Seconder, thank you. Councillor Cowan, thank you very much. Can I have a show of hands of those in favour? Thank you. Carried 6-0. Okay, I don't have any announcements. Are there minutes to be included for this one? Council reports, that's the number of meetings that we've done, which is only from 27th of March as well. So I've got the welcome meetings and presidents forum, which I went to on the 27th of March. I'll just quickly, briefly speak about that. Interesting afternoon, or a couple of hours it was actually. So being a bit careful what I say here. Minister of the Local Government was our first speaker, and her main topic of conversation was about amalgamations. She also talked about the fact that disruptive elected members will be investigated. They're bringing in new legislation now, some even more legislation than what they've already got in. So she talked about that a fair bit. Perhaps it's an issue. No. And if people are non-performing as elected members, because at the moment there's not really much that we can do about it if we've got someone who's not doing their job as a Shire councillor. Most of the Shire presidents part that day was because that was the day that the cyclone was on its way down, and there was lots of rain in the city, there was lots of rain everywhere, which is a really good thing. So a lot of people who had said they would come weren't too sure whether they should, so there was a fair few people who were attended by Zoom as well. So Tony Brown was there, and what's his title?
Local Government Inspector.
Yeah, Local Government Inspector. So there was lots of interest in that from the people there and the ones who were on Zoom as well. So that's really interesting. We've got a presentation which we won't do today, but some of you want to have a look at that as well. It's really a lot of questions that people are asking. He's had heaps and heaps of requests for all sorts of things. He said the same to you, didn't he, at the CEO's one, that don't come to them and say, I've got this problem, can you fix it? Because unless you've actually tried to fix it yourself, they're not just going to be the policeman, which is what people were saying was going to happen. That's not how it works. And then we met Mark Irwin, who is the new state president of Welga, who is very, very good. I think he's going to be a breath of fresh air. Not frightened of speaking his mind, very sensible, really down to earth. Guys, so that's really, really good, very useful. Okay, let's move on. 11, item 11 is corporate services report. 7.1 is the financial report. And the officer recommendation is that council receive the financial report presented for the period ending 31st March 2026. Have a mover, please, for that. Councillor Latham and seconder, Councillor Hanson. Thank you. Now, any questions before we vote? No queries about any of that? All right. Can I have a show of hands of those in support of passing that, please? Thank you. That will be carried 6-0. Next one is a 11.2, payments for listing. Officer recommendation is the council receive the list of payments totaling $740,307.
Oh, that's high this year. Well, 23
for the month ending 31st of March. I'm not too sure. Is that correct?
Yes, to the chair, yes it is. It's outlined in the attachment.
It's a lot extra ground cutting for the...
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. That's true. I did look at the rest of it. I just put it in the total. Can I have a mover for that, please? Councillor Thompson and second, and Councillor Hanson, thank you. Now, any questions that you haven't already submitted through the email to the relevant people? No? Okay, can I have a show of hands of those in support of payment of those accounts, please? That's carried 6-0. 11.3 is the bank overdraft Pacific Municipal Fund. Remember, this is an overdraft that was put into place. There has been no requirement to draw on this overdraft facility at any time. So the officer recommendation, unless you want to speak to that.
Yes, to the chair, yes, as we've discussed at the planning forum last month, we thankfully haven't had to use the overdraft. It was put in place, rightly so, at the time, because we were going to have a late adoption of the budget last financial year. And so it was justifiably put in place to just provide a safeguard for the Shire in case you had an issue with the rates not coming in a timely manner and being able to make your financial payments as per the procurement policies, which is usually a 30-day payment period, so to meet your financial obligations in a way. The auditors from the OAG that were here to do our audit in November have picked up on the fact that we have such a large overdraft sitting there, and like most loans, even though you may not use it, the fact that you have it and you could draw down on $300,000 tomorrow, they are sort of asking us as to why we have such a large amount sitting there. We currently don't pay a huge amount of fees. We obviously paid some fees when we put the overdraft in place. And the officer recommendation is to reduce the overdraft from 300 to 150. And as we discussed at the planning forum, we don't want to necessarily take the overdraft away completely, because we do recognize that we are a small shire that's heavily reliant on rates, and should something change tomorrow, if we were to take the overdraft away completely, we'd have those additional fees and charges once again to put the draft in place. So it's better to sort of have a happy medium and reduce the draft so that our financial liability is slightly less as far as the auditors are concerned, because the amount is smaller, but we're not taking it away completely. So hence okay. The officer's recommendation.
Yeah. Okay, so you can see already said that the officer recommendation is that council authorise the chief executive officer to reduce the limit of the Shire's overdraft facility with the Commonwealth Bank from $300,000 to $150,000. Can I have a mover, please, for that? Thank you, Councillor Latham. Second, I'll take Councillor Cowan. Thank you. Can I have a show of hands for those support of that motion? Thank you. All carried 6-0. Item 12, Planning and Technical Services Reports. 12.1 is a request for exemption of developmental approval, 944 Morrocking Road. Wandering, that's the people we just spoke to, the Rasmussens. Okay, so the officer recommendation, it's very few parts of it, but we'll read it. That council confirms that the temporary pre-assembly work already undertaken does not constitute development requiring planning approval subject to compliance with the conditions below, and 2, pursuant to clause 61.1, table item 17 of the deemed provisions contained within schedule 2 of the planning and development local planning schemes regulations 2015, grants a development approval exemption for the proposed temporary structure at 944 Warrimacanic Road, Wandering, subject to the following conditions. A, the exemption applies only until 31st of July 2026, after which the structure must be removed from the site. B, the structure is not to house live bats at any stage while located within the Shire of Wandering. C, the structure is to be made available for inspection by a designated Shire officer at any time during the exemption period with a minimum of 2 hours' notice, and inspections are to occur only between 8 a.m. and 5 p.m. The landowner is reminded of their ongoing obligations under the Environmental Protection Noise Regulation 1997 or any successor legislation. E, temporary pre-assembly works and associated activities are to continue to be undertaken only during normal business hours. F, the proponent is to ensure that at all times the location of the temporary structure and any associated works remain wholly within the property boundary and maintains all required setbacks in accordance with the applicable planning provisions. 3. Notes that Council's decision relates solely to planning matters and that any civil disputes between neighbouring landowners other than matters directly arising from non-compliance with this exemption remain private matters to be resolved by the affected parties and do not fall within Council's role or jurisdiction. Can I have a mover, please, for that motion? Thank you, Councillor Hanson, and a second row of Councillor Latham. Thank you. Can I have a show of hands of those in support of the motion, please? Carried, 6-0. Thank you. Okay, 13. Item 13 is Chief Executive Officer reports. 13.1, cover for Council, request for Council support. I'll pass this over to the CEO for... have you got a comment first before we...
Thank you, Madam President. Yes, this is a request from the organisers of the Cuppa for Cancer event here at the Shire. They have been organising this successful event for a number of years now, and they've always come to the Shire and relied on the Shire for support in relation to providing the venue free of charge. And they've acknowledged that in their letter as well, which is attached to the agenda papers. So the request for Council today is two things. One is to provide the to waive the fee of the hire for the community centre for the day so that the group can run this event that supports cancer. And the other thing is to allow them to place some raffle tickets at the front office of the Shire for the collection of donations towards this cause.
Okay, so I have a mover. Please, for that recommendation. Councillor Latham, Councillor Cowan, thank you for seconding. Any comments, please?
Only what I mentioned earlier.
Okay.
About the help.
All right. So can you elaborate on that, please, Councillor Hanson?
Sorry, that no Shire workers are to help set up the community centre in work hours. They are, if they are going to help, it's to be in volunteer in their own time.
Thank you. Any other comments? No other comments? Okay, can I have a show of hands, please, for those in support of that? Thank you. That's carried 6-0. Okay, item 13.2, Telstra mobile tower outages during power failures, annual electors meeting motion. This is a good bit. Now, this came up at the electors meeting in relation to the last outage we had, which of course was during the fires, which was there, so... CEO, do you want to...
Sure. So, through the chair, at the annual elections meeting, we had a few motions, which is the next few agenda items we're looking at today. This particular agenda item was raised by community member Janet Elliott and seconded by Brendan Whiteley. So, hence, it's before you, Council, to decide whether you support it or not. So, the motion was that the motion that was moved at the annual elections meeting was around putting pressure on Annika Wells, the Member of Parliament for Comms, to resolve the Telstra mobile tower battery outage in the event of an emergency, and also to formulate an emergency plan with DFIS and Telstra to have a generator deployed at the tower. Now, when we discussed this item in the planning forum, we've identified that there's certain things that council can do and can't do, and there's certain things that DFIS does and doesn't do. One of the things that DFIS will not do is have an emergency plan with us and Telstra around the generator, because that's a Telstra thing. So hence the wording of the council recommendation is slightly removed, as we discussed and agreed to at the planning forum, from what the original motion was at the annual electors meeting, but with the intent to keep it as closely aligned with that and within what council is able to do and exercise its powers on. So hence the motion, which I'll let Madam President go through.
Okay, so the officer recommendation is that Council 1 notes the motion carried at the annual electors meeting, and 2, request the CEO to write to the Honorary Annika Wells, MP, Minister for Communications, to raise concerns regarding the loss of mobile coverage at the Wandering Telstra Tower during power outages, particularly in emergency situations, and to seek assurance that Telstra will ensure timely restoration of services within 2 hours of a power outage following future outages, and the CEO of Telstra to highlight the impact of power-related outages on mobile services during emergencies, and to request that Telstra implement measures to ensure prompt service restoration, including the deployment of a generator to power the Wandering mobile tower within 2 hours of power outage. Can I please have a mover? Thank you, Councillor Hanson, and a seconder. Thank you, Councillor Price. Any comment on that? Fairly self-explanatory, a good motion. Do our best. Can I please have a show of hands of those in support of that motion? That's carried 6-0. Thank you, councillors. 13.3 is another motion from the annual electors meeting, also tabled by Janet Elliott, limiting the number of dogs permitted in residential on residential properties. Okay, the background of this, do you want to say it?
Sure. To the chair, so yes, the language in here on the agenda item around limiting the dogs permitted is basically what the ratepayer's wording it was at the annual electors motion. And then, of course, looking at what the intent of that motion was, which was proposed by, moved by Janet Elliott and then seconded by Max Watts, the councillor recommendation is worded along the lines of creating a local dog law, because that's the mechanism in place for how council could limit the number of dogs in the Shire. So hence that wording is just slightly different to align with what council can do and what you you can look at doing. So the so that's why it's worded there.
Okay, so the officer recommendation is that Council 1 notes the motion we got carried at the annual electors meeting, and 2, requests the CEO to prepare a local dog law for the Shire of Wandering. Any comments? Okay, sorry, can I have a mover for that? Thank you, Councillor Hanson. Seconder, thank you, Councillor Cowan. Now, is there any comment, please?
Yes, Councillor Hanson, through the chair. That says residential, so that only means in town itself, because there could be people that live across the road, and that's classed as rural, that have more than the two dogs that they're, so are we, or how is that, are we going to do a, what does it actually say there? Is that just the dog law for, because it does say in their residential.
To the chair, yes, a good question. So the dog law will break that down to say, this is what's allowed in residential, this is what's allowed in rural, this is what's allowed in GRV.
Okay.
So rather than just coming up with a policy on residential dogs, the best way forward is to actually develop one for the whole Shire, and then you break down what is allowed in certain areas based on your the different town planning schemes.
Thank you.
Good question, Councillor Hansel. Okay, can I have a show of hands, please, of those in favour of that motion? Thank you. That's carried 6-0. Okay, 13.4, time constraints on development of vacant blocks of land at the end, and this was an annual electors meeting motion as well. Also moved by Janet Elliott, this time seconded by Ross Warburton. I'll give Alice a second a bit of background.
And to the chair, so this came up as part of a request to the annual electors meeting for the Shire to impose a few caveats, if you may, on the sale of council land. So as we discussed at the planning forum, this can only be undertaken on Shire-owned land. We can't restrict what private property sales do. But on the Shire-owned land, that if we were to sell a block of land, whether that be industrial, rural, whatever, that we put a caveat on it to say that you know, whatever the conditions might be, and we don't necessarily need to decide what those conditions are now, but this is just acknowledging that the council accepts that motion and will try and enforce it when we get applications for this, or when we sell land ourselves, that we will enforce those conditions, and then we can discuss those conditions when we come to those individual sales of lots.
Okay, so the officer recommendation is that Council 1 notes the motion carried at the annual electors meeting, 2 requests the Chief Executive Officer to implement this requirement as it relates to the imposition of time limits on the development of vacant land as a condition of future Shire land sales to ensure that purchasers are required to commence and or complete development within a specified time frame. Can I have a mover, please? Thank you, Councillor Thompson. Seconded. Thank you, Councillor Hanson. Any comments?
Yeah, on item number, Councillor Cowan, sorry, on the item number 2, request the Chief Executive Officer to implement this requirement as it relates to the imposition of time limits on the development of vacant land. Should we note that it relates to the imposition of time limits on the development and sale of vacant land, with the specific inclusion of adding the sale?
So, to the chair, if you want to change that, then councillor, you'll have to recommend an alternate motion to include that wording there, and then you'll have to move in second and raise it again.
Yes, you
are. It's already as a condition of future land sales. So,
that provision's already there.
Yeah,
through the
is.
Chair, councillor Price, the condition's already there.
It says as a condition of future Shire land sales. So,
so
I think it's already covered.
Yeah, to the chair, it is covered. The intent is to cover it. But again, if you want to change it, then you have to propose an alternate recommendation.
I'll accept it like this.
Yeah, okay.
So you've moved and seconded. We just need a show of hands,
please. Yes, okay. Show of hands. Those in favour, thank you. That's carried 6-0. I should have looked. I didn't say that, but I'm interested in it anyway.
At this stage, before we get into the item, you can go, oh, I need to declare it.
I declare an interest in this.
You still have to check.
Do I have to check?
But it's not a financial thing, so you're...
No, 13.5, establishing a committee to contact the media. At the end, this is another annual electors meeting motion. This is a motion moved by Bob Little and seconded by JP Cornish. Okay. Alice,
could
you please?
Sure. So, to the chair, there was a lot of discussion, as you were aware, councillors, at the annual election meeting around why Telstra isn't doing more in relation to getting the towers up and running when they go down during a power outage.
Concerns, by the way.
Yes. And so, one of the recommendations from one of the electors present was that we. Rather than trying to keep writing letters to ministers and to Telstra, which we have seen has happened in the past, the local MLA, for example, has written, and we have written in the past as well, and it doesn't usually get much of a response, is that we look at changing our approach and going directly to the media with the intent of sort of creating a bit of a sensational story in the media, and that might get a different outcome for us. But upon consideration of this motion at our planning forum, council has decided that some of the other actions that we are taking, including some of the actions from some of the motions that we have just looked at this afternoon, will cover this issue, and that we will continue to use other avenues that are available to council to address this important issue, but we at this stage will not be shocking the media.
So the officer recommendation is that Council 1 notes the motion carried at the annual elected meeting, and 2 acknowledges that the Shire has already implemented a range of proactive measures to address telecommunications coverage issues experienced during the recent bushfire events, and as such determines that no further action is required at this time. Can I have a mover, Councillor Hanson, and a seconder, please, Councillor Thompson? Thank you. Can I have a show of hands? Those in favour. Thank you. Carries 6-0. 13.6, amendments to the terms of reference of the Audit and Risk Committee. I'll pass this over to the CEO for some background comment on this.
Sure. Thank you, Madam President. So again, at the Planning Forum, we've discussed the challenges we have faced last year when we went out to market to try and get an independent presiding member and deputy presiding member for the Audit Risk and Improvement Committee, which is part of some of the changes in the regulations around audit and risk and improvement committees. We struggled mainly because we had a meeting fee per se, not a per hour fee like most of the other shires are offering. And so we only had one applicant the last time we went out to market, and that applicant as well withdrew before we could determine whether they were suitably qualified or not. So we have, as council, looked at what the surrounding shires are providing in terms of the band of what the hourly rate is. We have considered the fact that we are a small shire, the fact that our meetings are only twice a year. We don't have very long meetings. Some of the bigger councils understandably have meetings that go for a long period of time. There is some expected reading, of course, from the people involved, and we are expecting people with a professional background to apply. So having taken all those factors into consideration, council has decided to increase the meeting fee by a slight amount, which is what's in the updated terms and updated terms of reference for this meeting, which is a payment fee for the presiding member of $120 per meeting, a deputy presiding member $120 per meeting, but then allowing for a traveling allowance of $100 per hour, up to a max of 200 per meeting, which takes the total amount per meeting for an independent member to 320.
Okay. So the officer recommendation for this is that council number one approve the changes to the terms of reference of the ARIC. Number two, authorise the Chief Executive Officer to advertise for an independent presiding member and independent deputy presiding member of the ARIC. I have a mover, please. Thank you, Councillor Cowan. Seconder. Thank you, Councillor Latham. Any comments? No? Okay, can I have a show of hands of those in support of that motion? Thank you. That's carried 6-0. So item 13.7 is the Shire Wandering Policy Manual Review. Policies 4, 5, 21, 28, 87 and 88. We'll look at them in one block, I think. So Policy 4 is the Disability Access and Inclusion. Policy 5, Council Member Entitlements. Policy 21, Use of the Shire Logo. Policy 28, unmade road contributions. Policy 87, information management and information and communications technology acceptable use. Policy 88, information and communications technology asset disposal. Do you want any comments, background comments, please?
Yes, so again, through the chair, we discussed this at the planning forum as we usually do. We looked at what is there and if there are any updates to be made. The update we have decided to make is in relation to policy 4, the Disability Access and Inclusion Policy, where we decided to outline the outcomes in our policy to align with the outcomes from the Australian, similar to the Australian government, state government outcomes, so that they're aligned. The wording we had in there was similar, but not the same. And so now it's the same, because we report on this as a public sector entity to the state government at the end of every financial year. So it's easier for us to report as well if our outcomes are aligned with the state outcomes and the state strategic plan around disability access and inclusion. So that was the change to this policy. None of the other policies upon review required any amendments, so they all remain the same. Just update the date when they were reviewed.
So the officer recommendation is that council adopts the following policies with any amendments made. Should we just discuss policy 4, disability access and inclusion, policy 5, council member entitlements, policy 21, use of the Shire logo, policy 28, unmade road contributions, policy 87, information management and information communications technology acceptable use, and policy 88, information and communications technology asset disposal. Can I please have a mover for that motion? Thank you, Councillor Thompson. Can I have a seconder? Councillor Latham, thank you. Can I have a show of hands, please, for those in favour? It's carried 6-0. Thank you very much. Item 14 is elected members' motions, of which previous notice has been given. There are none. Item 15, new business of an urgent nature approved by the person presiding or by decision of the meeting. Nothing, no confidential reports, and I will close the meeting. I declare the meeting closed at 4:16 p.m.